Forever Dog.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I must have ordered this extra hot by mistake. Wow.
Are we on the sun? Is this Mercury?
140 degrees.
Celsius.
Welcome
Celsius.
Back. Centigrade.
Celsius. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back for yet another steaming piping,
scalding,
serving of
hot goss.
This, of course, is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, issues in politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. So let's go ahead and take this moment to get into some
hot goss. Ooh, what's the tea, Christine?
I have a COVID confession. I'd like to make COVID confession.
COVID era confession.
So that's like lowered expectations. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
What's your COVID confession? Okay. This morning I went to go. We're filming a bonus thing where I needed to drop off a thing at Willem's. As a part of it. And so I was sort of like, I was running late and I was like flustered and like getting ready this morning and like getting myself ready. And I went out the door and I was walking toward Willem's studio. And I guess almost like halfway there, it's a short walk, but like halfway there, I realized I'm not wearing a face mask. I'm not wearing a face covering. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So I immediately went to the first store I saw on Hollywood Boulevard. And I was like, do you sell face masks? And so I bought one and I put it on. But so as I was walking to that store though, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. People are going to be looking at me and judging me and like reading me for not following the face covering rules. But instead, what I noticed was that no fucking single person was wearing a mask. There was like one person wearing a mask. And it was a busy day. Like I saw a few people. And that's so like, what's tea? What's the tea, Christine?
Okay. This morning when
I got up. Is it still happening or what?
I got up to walk to the studio and I left without a mask. And then I got to the corner of my street and I was like, am I going to go across or am I going to go up? And when I looked up, there was a guy with a mask and I was like, fuck, I forgot my mask, you know, because I usually keep it in the car. But when I walk, like I didn't have it. Yeah. And so I went back and got it. And by the time I got like halfway up, every person I had seen, which was like four or five people, wasn't wearing a mask while they were walking. But they also weren't near anybody. So, like, when I'm riding my bike, I don't know if I feel the need to wear a mask while I'm alone, like, nobody near me. I got a test. I don't have it right now. So I don't know. But if you're walking and there's people sharing the sidewalk coming up to you, mask. And it's the law in California right now. Gavin Newsom, like, made it so. If you're outside, you're in a mask.
The official regulation is anytime you leave the house, you are to be wearing a face mask. So like, is it just, I mean, I see this is on the outline. We have a couple of things to get to, but,
I've seen a cop today, definitely not wearing a mask like on the street. So I don't know what it is. I'm just doing what I think is best for me and wearing one. I'm not hooking up with any new people, and Florida has like 5,000 new cases in a day, apparently. Which is where my parents live. So, like, I'm worried a little bit. But at the same time, they're being smart, too. So, I hope everybody just is smart. All the people that listen to this are probably smart, I think. You know?
Well, we encourage you to wear a mask.
I mean, some of you are ugly and shit anyway.
Oh my God.
I've seen some of your these beats that you've been tagging me in. Because people be tagging me in a lot of stuff. And like some of them, I'm like, why did you tag me in that? Do you get that a lot? I know my friends have recently
been. I'm
not
going to talk about the ones that I've been getting tagged in of you.
Oh, yeah. I've been humiliated online and body shamed by a Costa Rican woman. I think it's a vendetta because when Costa Rica stole my dress and maybe she's defending her country's honor. Maybe it's her. Maybe it's the girl who stole it who got all mad when I put her face on the internet. But she's been saying the nastiest things about me. Some are true, probably, but she's inspired me because, like, I'm going to make a video about it, all about bullying.
Okay, yes. It's so dumb. I mean, someone who really doesn't like you has made up these Instagram accounts where they just, like, they call you fat over and over again. And it's like, okay, I mean, come on, listen.
Like, does Courtney have Wendy on her other phone? Or, like, who's doing it?
Oh, my God. Jaded bitch.
Going after, even if it's someone you don't like, but, like, commenting on someone's body or their size is just, like, is so late. And it's, like, it's not just offensive to the person that you're trying to drag. It's, like, offensive to, like, a great amount of people. It's offensive to anybody with a body, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just, it's kind of a weak, like, a weak tactic to take. There's plenty of reasons to, you know, to criticize you. And I don't think that going after the body is nice or fair or constructive.
And where is the body?
I'm looking for it.
Move over, mother.
But really, I hate that shit. It's so mean. Bullying is dumb. Bullying is so over.
It totally is. But you know what's not over?
You know it's not over. Good spelling is always in fashion.
Spell bully, bitch. B-E-L-L-I. U-L-L-Y, sorry. Our spelling, our first annual Race Chaser Presents Spelling is Fundamental Secret Celebrity Drag Queen Spelling Bee Challenge Competition Contest starring Alaska Thunderfuck 5000 and Willem.
Yes. We are doing a spelling bee. It's really happening. We're doing this thing. It's happening on Monday.
This is not a test. Well, it's kind of a test.
It's fully a test. It's a test of Big Dipper's dedication because it's turning out to become a very technically intense live stream event. But it's going to be really fun. 6 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast.
June 29th.
June 29th.
Yeah, sorry, there's a typo there.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know if we were
doing,
doing
a spelling
pop-up
bee
show.
Again?
We're doing a spelling bee to raise money for GLITS, which is this great organization,
yes,
which is buying housing for trans women fresh out of Rikers in New York. And Cayenne is leading the charge. You can look up GLITS Inc. on Instagram if you want to know more about it. And all of the money is going straight to their pockets. So you're helping them. You're basically getting a free show and making a donation to a cause that matters right now. So please buy your tickets. It's only $10. And if you want to up the wager, we can be a little betting lady, betting man. That's available too. You just need to get those bets in before we start.
Yes, it's going to be really fun. Secret celebrity appearances, stunt shows, and most of all spelling for a good cause. So go to racechasertickets.com. You can find out all the details and you can get a ticket. It's going to be a really fun live stream event. The last one we did was really fun, and we raised a whole bunch of money for a good cause. So we said, let's fucking do it again.
I said, spell charity, bitch.
Charity's my drag daughter. That old drag gag.
Let me tell you about the drag children of the future, because Bambi Banks Kool-Aid set fire to the precipitation, the rain, the hail. She is Shay's baby. I watched that Chicago drag thing. I watched the whole thing, all 3 hours. And there were some revelations, but Bambi Banks Kool-Aid, I want to see her more on TV because I want to see her. She's sickening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a testament to her mother, I'm sure, a little bit, but like that Chicago drag thing was kind of crazy. Was Kat Sass the one who had all those chains like glued to her and was like taking up time in the past? Okay, I know who she is then. Yeah.
So I'm not fully versed in, I'm not fully versed in everything that happened. I watched some of the highlights and I get the gist of kind of what happened, but we're talking about Chicago and the Chicago drag scene right now.
Chicago Black Drag Council.
Right. There's a lot of discussion happening and a lot of like restructuring that's going on.
There's some dissection too, honestly, and dissemination.
Deep dissemination. So what basically happened was, and we kind of touched on this before, but there was a Chicago Black Drag Council and they had a town hall meeting virtually past weekend.
Yeah, after they had sent out a letter to multiple promoters and bars in the city demanding their attendance at the meeting, representatives, and basically telling people how this was going to be in the future for Chicago and drag. There would be more opportunities for black queens that were slighted and maligned by white promoters or bars or whoever. Everybody was called out. It was open season. Tranica and Kat Sass got the brunt of it. A couple of other bars and the Chicago Black Drag Council and Lucy Stuhl and the bar owners are all working together to make sure this happens, I think. I would like to say that Roscoe's did say some great things, like that one night is not enough because they are the presenters of Black Girl Magic with Vixen and all the dolls there. So they're working to restructure some nights, and Tranica originally had agreed to step away from hosting two nights a week out of the demands on that letter that the Chicago mm-hmm. Black Drag Council said. And then during the Zoom meeting, they told her, you'll be giving up two nights. And at that point, there was a point of contention because she thought she would still be behind the scenes or booking or holding the purse strings, and that wasn't agreed upon to. And they went back and forth a couple times on that, with Tranica finally like relenting and T-Rex huffing and relenting a little bit. But the way the comments on the side were not kind to T-Rex. They were like, she's drunk. Look at how she's sitting, hands above her head. Like, it felt like it didn't feel like it was going well for her. I heard she since apologized after that, but like the things that were revealed, like the things that she did to Shay personally, which I don't need to talk about because they're triggers for her. And I hope she's a listener. But it's weird. Like, do you call your friend and be like, wow, I didn't know that like you thought like that. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Or do I just wait till I see her and be like, hey girl, or what? Like, I feel like I have to talk to her, but I feel like the whole world just bitch smacked her. So I don't necessarily need to like be first in line to talk to her. Like, how are you friends with your friend again when you find out that they were a racist asshole to your other friends?
Right.
How? Like, I don't know. And if anybody has any ideas, write in to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And ultimately, it's good that there's like these larger structural things happening, because these are like structural changes have to happen in all avenues of like society in this country, like with the police and with fucking the government.
Kentucky but, voting.
I mean, yes, all these things have to be deeply restructured, and these are conversations that are happening right now. So in a way, it's good. It's hopeful, you know, that Chicago, the drag scene is saying, okay, these are structural changes that we can make to make it better moving forward. So like, ultimately that's good. And we need to see that like across the board. So it's hopeful to see that happening in Chicago.
There was some stuff in the drag council that like didn't necessarily feel racist, but definitely felt like shitty. Like Shay recounting a story about like telling Shay had three numbers in this one show where most girls usually had two, but that she was doing with Tranica, and she was like towards the top, like second, and then middle, and then probably towards the end. And someone came down and said to Shay, how many how long do you need? Like, it was like she was on next and she's like 30 seconds. And Shay heard that person say to Tranica, she needs 30 seconds. And Tranica or T-Rex literally after that went, Shay Coulee, and introduced. It's like, why would you do that to a girl like that? Like, is your coworker? Why would you try to sabotage them? Like, not get them out for the beginning of the song? Like, that's shitty. Like, I've ripped off a girl's eyelash before her song, but only halfway, not the whole thing. And like, it was the third show and it was fine. It was fine. It was Texas. It's a big stage. Nobody was there. It was the last show. But like, she still made her number. Like, I wasn't trying to make her late. I was just trying to fuck her up. Like,
yeah,
don't make a girl late for her number like that. You know, it makes her look unprofessional, unready, like, and that, what joy does that bring you? Like, I don't understand people delighting from other people's hardships and miseries. And it sounds like Tranica did that a little bit with the microaggressions and like, yell. I mean, I remember hearing her yell and read people who didn't ask a question how she liked it in Chicago, but like, it's drag, so you just laugh it off kind of thing, you know? But like, some people can only laugh until they start crying, you know?
Yeah. And it sounds like a bunch of T-Rex's peers got together and drafted this note and all signed it and signed off on it and submitted it to her. And like, these are the things that have made us feel like shit. These are the things that you've been doing wrong systematically. These are the racist things that you've been doing for over a long period of time. And
wearing the same mustard yellow party dress. Girl, someone called her out on this mustard yellow party dress.
Because the mustard yellow. Yeah,
because she's been saying stuff to people on stage like, oh, you're wearing that again. And like, you need new hair, new outfits. You can't wear something from the show you did Saturday on a Sunday show. Like, but she wasn't also living up to those expectations herself. Because A, you can't. You can't have a new outfit for every show. You can't. It's too much.
Girl, I've been wearing the same outfit since I started drag.
2010. So. I know. You should wash it.
Never.
Never. But yeah, I feel like change is afoot. And that foot is a size 14 in a pleaser.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Well, speaking of change being afoot, we are really excited to announce something really big here.
So excited.
In the world of the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them, Mom? Hey, Mom. Hi, Mommy. We are so excited to announce Moguls of Media.
But this you can call us Mom.
Yes. This is a new podcasting endeavor where we will be bringing lots of amazing new programming to your ears. We're a chain.
We're a chain. Oh my God. It makes you pretty. There is going to be a focus on the LGBTQIA plus community, and we are super excited to start sharing our new shows with you. So when you hear us talk about them, go listen.
Yes, Moguls of Media. That's the name of our, like, what? Our production?
It's the name of our production.
It's our network.
Our network, yes.
Our network.
Yeah. We're a chain. So,
drum roll, please.
The first thing that
can you guys
Moguls
hear that?
Of Media or Mom is going to be bringing to you is, this is a drum roll.
Ow, this really fucking hurts my finger.
Starting this coming Monday, June 29th. Welcome into your ears.
The Chop with Manila.
With Latrice and Manila.
Latrice. Listen, we'll fix it in post. It's fine.
Manila and Latrice chop the. Oh, no. The Chop. Latrice and Manila. Okay, so.
Presenting you, with Chop
you
the.
You may be wondering, what is The Chop? Well. Yeah.
This is a recap and review show all about Canada's Drag Race.
That's
so you can
right.
tune in each and every Monday to find out who's on top and who got the chop.
Mm-hmm. We love Latrice and Manila so much, and we're so thrilled to welcome them into the Mom family.
We're network girls.
We're the network brass.
We're the network brass and rose gold. There will be Canadians featured on each episode of The Chop.
Really?
Are you gonna book them?
I've spoken to many Canadians, and I have made lewd gestures. Yes, gestures and salutations and inquiries about bookings. We'll definitely have some commentary from very many Canadians that you know.
Yeah, and
surprise
I mean,
guests,
the point,
secret celebrities.
Yes. The point of Moguls of Media or Mom is to just like kind of expand this thing called Race Chaser, which we love so much. It's brought a lot
love.
Of joy to us. And you, the listeners, love it. But we want to like share the wealth with our sisters because this is an amazing it's an amazing platform to have. And so we just want to like invite in our fucking sisters to be part of it with us. So I'm fucking so excited. Latrice and Manila, The Chop, starting Monday, June 29th.
Girl.
And Drag Race Canada. Hello.
Yeah, so exciting. I just saw Brittany. Dipper's touching himself. I didn't know what he was doing.
No, rainbow spotlight. And then we take our break.
I thought you were doing your air break. Up here.
Sasha Colby where you hold all the hair up and take it down strand by strand.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get the volume in.
That. So we have a rainbow. We have a very special rainbow spotlight this week. As you may know, there's a new song that just dropped that's hitting the airwaves. And it's called Sitting Alone in the VIP. Which is my collab with the amazing Candy Muse.
The Dominican Doll.
Yes. Just as like context, this is, if you don't know, this is based on a tweet that Candy Muse, who's iconic, follow her. She's amazing. But Candy Muse tweeted a long ago,
sitting
a couple
alone,
years ago, right?
Sitting alone in the VIP.
Yeah.
And
probably 2 years
and
ago, right?
No one has asked about how I was.
Yes. She basically tweeted this really earnest, like heartfelt tweet that was like, I'm sitting alone in the VIP right now. And everybody keeps asking me for a picture, but nobody asked me about how I'm feeling or how my day was. And it went viral. It exploded to the point where people started taking pictures in VIP sections alone, staring off despondently.
I definitely
because
did.
Yes, I did too. And
I got so many phone calls from people being like, are you okay? And then and then someone I don't even like was like, I tried to say hi to you at the party, but like, you know, and I was like, what? And then they're like, Are you? I was like, and then I sent him the link to Candy's thing, and I was like, it's a joke.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
So it's based on that tweet turned that viral meme challenge. And I woke up one morning and I just had this sitting alone in the VIP, sitting alone in the VIP, like in my head. And I was like, oh my God. So I got Candy on the phone. She was so into it. She was like, you know, I've been thinking of doing a song and I actually wanted to do the song with you. So it was kind of, it was like perfect timing. So I went to Ellis, who from Beat Salon, who did, Ellis did Read You Wrote You, and many other songs. And we got together and we fucking did this song. And then COVID happened. And then it was like, it just kept getting like delayed and delayed. But you know what? It's finally here. I think it fully encapsulates the feeling of the tweet. And Candy Muse is fucking amazing. So check out this fucking song.
Alone in VIP. My own security. Ooh. You wanna sit with me? This gives me all the tea. Bitches buy drinks when I got my own bottle. Chilling at my table, sitting pretty like a model. I'm a lone bitch, I ain't here to make friends. Bottle to the queen, could you tie us in trends? I mean, you bitches need to blend. And your career's about to end.
Bye.
Get up off that rope, put your bag up on my face. Before you come and talk to me, go fix your fucking lace. Line full of bands around the fucking block. The thing on my list, bitch, you know you're fucking nuts.
I'm sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone, cause you don't like me. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the 213. Sitting alone in my 613. Sitting alone, cause you don't like me. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the VIP. Oh, Mickey's, you're so fine. Don't blame me, it's not my fault line. Fubar Precinct and Gold Coast. These are the ones that I love the most. She's got style, she's got flair. Thin white bitch, Blair St. Clair. VIP, I don't wait in line. I'll be in the club if you wanna FaceTime. I'm sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone, cause you don't like me. Sitting alone in the VIP. Sitting alone in the 213. Sitting alone in my 613. Sitting alone, cause you don't like me. Sitting alone in the VIP.
Hello, this is Alaska. Just so you know, we recorded this episode a few days ago, but I just wanted to take a moment to address something that's currently happening in the moment. There's a lot of conversations going on about some things that I did early in my drag career, and I want to address them here. I put a statement on Twitter, but I also wanted to address it here. There's some video clips and some images from a few years ago. And basically, I say a joke where I use a racial slur and I use a transphobic slur and I make jokes about sexual assault. I use racist imagery. And so there's like a conversation about it happening that people want me to address it. And I want to address it because this isn't the sort of thing that, especially in this moment right now in history, I don't want to just be like, oh, well, if I don't address it, it'll just go away. Like, that's not, I take responsibility for everything that I've done in my drag career. I've done a lot of stupid fucking things, but, okay, so, I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I don't have hate in my heart, you know, toward anyone, and so that wasn't my intention at the time when I was using these things. But the important thing, and this is what the conversation is about, it doesn't matter what my intention was because it's really a conversation about privilege. And I, as a privileged individual, said these things and did these things and got away with them. These things were encouraged. And that is literally privilege at work. And so what I didn't realize at the time was that these words and these images have power. And they have the power to really hurt people or make people feel devalued or triggered or targeted or unsafe. And also, they have the power to embolden people who do have hate in their heart to feel free to go ahead and use these things against people and perpetuate that sort of cycle of hurt. So it's not okay. And I apologize, and I'm really, really sorry, because I recognize that this causes damage to people, and these were hurtful and harmful and negligent choices that I made, and I take full responsibility for them, and I have to be accountable for them. So moving forward, I really, I can't promise that I'm not going to ever make a mistake again or do something stupid. But I do know that I've learned a lot. And I know that I want to use my art and my platform and my privilege to create a space where people feel uplifted and they feel supported and they feel like they can fully feel safe and like be themselves. I also want to use my voice and my privilege to amplify, you know, the voices that are fighting for the fight for justice and for equality in this country and around the world. And like, that's the important fight that's going on right now. And I want to be a part of that fight and use my voice for that. So thank you for listening, and thank you for helping me be better. And I appreciate you. And on with the rest of the episode.
No, I just realized I can move one side of my body independently. Like, I can move my left eyebrow and my left pec, but I can't move my right eyebrow and my right pec. Is that weird?
Is that weird? Strokey.
Never mind.
Jones Cafe.
Oh, wow. Because I'm a Willem. W-I-L-L-A-L-L-A-L. I'll say it again. I'm a Willem. Let's get political, shall we?
You know, I think we shall.
It's time for a song. Time for the song.
Okay, here we go. And just so you know, that singing or doing anything in sync over Zoom is not impossible. Possible. So that's why it sounds the way that it does.
Yeah, we're live vocalists, and when we're in the studio together, I mean, you can't deny that magic. Like, Houdini even was like, wow.
Houdini was shooketh. Okay, okay. Let's get political.
I wanna get political.
Let me see your policy.
I was doing Angie Dickinson. Who were you doing?
I don't normally like to throw my name around, but I am Miss Angie Dickinson.
Oh, I knew it was you.
I have altered my appearance for a film role.
Wearing creams and camels and a glove. Have you seen the documentary, Disclosure?
Yes!
It's so good.
I'm going to watch it again because I'm so obsessed with it.
Honestly, I need to watch it again, too, because when they started talking about Famke Janssen on Nip Tuck and how, like, she was a she was this character that went she was going crazy and then doing all this stuff to everybody. And then at the end, they realized, like, the plot twist was, oh, she's trans. And yeah. My first episode of that show was one of her episodes. And then I went on to have, like, my own little arc. Which I don't know. My character wasn't a hooker, so that was good. But I don't know if she was a positive portrayal of trans people or not. I feel like it was, because like she only like hit people when they hit her, you know.
But she ultimately gets the shit beat out of her.
Oh, multiple times. She got castrated. She got thrown in a grave. She got beat up. She got bad surgery. And then she blackmails the doctors. And then they like fix her up, I think. And then she definitely peed on the doctor's sons with all of her girlfriends too. But I'm like, are they gonna talk about, like, I was waiting. I was like, am I canceled too? And then they went straight from Famke to I think somebody else in Nip Tuck that might have been trans, or a Ryan Murphy character, because like Ryan's been always putting transgender stuff at the forefront of all of his shows, even the ones that haven't gotten picked up, like the pilot Pretty Handsome. And Alexandra Billings was in that, and that was the audition where Carson Kressley was like, y'all girls do this a lot in the audition room and the callback. And we were like, yes, Carson. But Alexandra was in that documentary too. Everybody was in the documentary. Trace, Laverne.
It's an amazing documentary. It's on Netflix. It's called Disclosure, and it's the Laverne Cox film. And it's all about trans representation throughout history in Hollywood and in media. And it's really eye-opening and really amazing to see everyone on screen in the film is trans. So it's just so amazing. I can't wait to watch it.
I was talking to someone about the doc, and they said, I told them the facts that like 80% of Americans don't know someone transgendered. So almost all of their impressions of the trans community is from media. So that's why this is important and getting positive representations out there. And they said back to me, they're like, well, didn't you play a bunch of hookers on TV? And I was like, yeah, but so did Jasmine, who's in this documentary saying she was prostitute one, hooker number two, all this stuff. It's like, those were the roles offered. Like, I was playing them. Is my this actress named Jen, who's also a writer, said that the most harmful thing about all these roles on TV is that they were mostly played by men like me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not true. Jasmine is trans. I am a man, but like do I have to like issue an apology like for all my former roles? I know the girl is mad about my back roles still, but what about like my acting roles? Like, do I have to apologize for Nip Tuck? All that. There's so many things going on right now that I'm just like trying to like just keep on the right side of the line. And this documentary made me feel like I did something wrong 100%.
Well, I mean, it's a like it's a larger discussion, and it's sort of like, I mean, it's not as though you're like a straight man who's stepping in and sort of like benefiting and being applauded for playing bravely portraying a trans woman. You work in the world of drag. You work alongside trans women as your like friends and your colleagues. So I don't think any of them would have anything to say to you about you playing the role of Cherry on Nip Tuck. I mean,
the way that Jen, I think, explained everything was that all these men get so many accolades and awards when they play trans people. Like, it's so brave. Like, Jared
Leto.
Like,
how brave. Oh, my gosh. Give him the Oscar.
The movie Dog Day Afternoon, the role first went out to a trans woman. And I heard the same thing happen with Trans America, too, with Alexandra. There's, like, so many men who have played roles, and then they're like, oh, instant award bait, you know? Like, you play a hooker, you play trans, or you die, awards bait. Everybody knows that. And this documentary illustrated so many instances of that happening, and I was just like, wow, part of the problem, hello. But, you know, I'm not trying to play roles like that anymore. Hopefully they won't be written, but it was so weird that that was always the story that was, like, being told, just like, this needs to be readable as a man.
Yeah.
So strange.
And it's, you know, it's part of the system that still is a huge problem. And that's why like Disclosure is important, because it's like really moving the conversation about like how trans people need to be portrayed moving forward. And so I hope that fucking Hollywood is listening.
And it's about education, because I bet a lot of the people who wrote those roles, cast those roles, produced those shows thought, wow, we're pushing forward by including trans characters in our media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In their brain, they thought, wow, we're being progressive.
Yeah.
And that's why education is so important as we move forward through all sort of social movements, is that things change. Everything changes. Yeah. The standard changes. The needle changes. It's all about continuing to learn and move forward.
The standard's closed. I walked by it last week.
The standard.
Yeah, I tried to go to the pool.
Hello. Knock, hello. Knock, knock. Hello.
I have my key card.
Let's go ahead and take a break and we'll be right back. Oh my heavens.
Oh, there's an owl. There's an owl.
Oh my god. Oh, what? Oh, wow. That sounds like a strange owl.
That owl is disguising his voice.
Throwing his voice.
Cave owl. Okay.
Let's go ahead and go
spelunking, unking, unking. Deep inside the dreams.
Okay.
You want to talk to Abraham or should I?
I'll read Abraham. Abraham. From Abraham. Hello, Will Askaper. A longtime listener and avid drag fan here. Just last night I had a dream which had both Willem and Alaska in it, and I was wondering if you could help decipher the meaning of my dream since you were there. Both of you picked me up in a car, and the entire time you were both saying how we were going to be late, and Willem was saying, you know how that RuPaul hates it when we're late. We arrive at our destination, and it turned out to be one of my friends' house, but they didn't recognize me because somehow I was in drag. But my friend's brother knew it was me, and one thing led to another, and him and I had sex in his grandma's shower. Once we were finished, I walked out to find that you two had left me there, and I had no idea where I was. How could you guys have left me there? Did you mislead me into thinking I was going to meet RuPaul? Anyway, keep up the good work you do, and thank you for entertaining the children. As Nina Bonina, Osama Bin Laden Brown would say, ooh, the girls are girling. Thank you, Abraham.
Huh. Well, RuPaul's masterclass, which I recently have almost completed and filmed my thoughts, my reactions to all of her wonderful things. One of the things that was included was RuPaul saying, you know what? I was late for years. I was late.
Yeah.
And then she stopped being late. Which I didn't get, like, why would you want to make yourself rush? And she's talking about, like, the adrenaline rush, you're getting there late, and, like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't know, girl. But I also am not good with dreams. Like, I don't usually remember mine. So I don't know what you were thinking. You were probably watching Drag Race. You probably want to hang out with us. And that's what it was, I bet.
Well, okay, but Abraham.
And you're horny.
First of all, we put you in drag, okay? Which is a rare and thrilling gift.
That's 2 hours right there.
Second of all, we gave you a ride. Third of all, you got dick at the destination. So
and a shower.
I don't understand what the problem is. Of course, what do you want us to do? Wait in the foyer while you fuck in the grandmother's fucking sex shower? No.
I bet it was one of those ones where you could turn the shower into a tub, like a stand-up sit-down tub thing.
Yeah, like with the door that opens.
That one. Yeah, well, his hole was open. I don't know about the door.
So, listen, we did the respectful thing by, like, getting out of there. We didn't know if you were going to have an overnight. We don't know.
We don't want to hear you go to Pound Town and just keep turning up Street Smarts on the TV. Okay?
Street Smarts!
That was what Lady Gaga was on.
No, that was my big break. Was Gaga on it, too?
Gaga was on the one where they, like, put you in a rude situation and see how you react. It was, like, temperature cooker or something.
Oh,
like
no, not that one.
And they like, kept not giving her her salad after she ordered her salad. And she was in a restaurant. And she was like, what the fuck is going on over here? And it was all a TV show.
I don't like my food fucked with. This next entry comes from Simon. Hello, Dippin' Dolls. This past week, I visited my dad out of town. The city he lives in had a few positive cases of COVID, so my family and I decided if we limited our interactions with other people, we should be fine. However, the week I spent with him took an unexpected and unfortunate turn for the worse. My dad decided to invite some people over to his house, despite me saying I was uncomfortable with that. We got into a huge fight, and long story short, they came over anyway, and I was left alone hiding in my bedroom until they left at 1 a.m. Then, later in the week, when my sister mentioned the Supreme Court ruling that it was illegal to fire people for being LGBTQIA+, my dad said, and I quote, "If I were in charge, I would fire them all," as if I wasn't literally watching Drag Race in that exact moment. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm slowly starting to realize that my dad isn't the person I thought he would be. I thought he was, and I don't know if I'm ready to come to terms with the fact that he may be a really horrible person. I'm not sure what y'all's relationships are like with your fathers, but I was hoping you could give me some advice on how I should deal with this, because I love my dad, but I'm not sure he respects me or what I believe in, or if he would even accept me if he knew I was gay. Thanks to all three of you for the content and all the amazing things you do for our community and the world. Sorry for lack of dick. I'm not in the mood. Love, Simon.
Love, Simon.
Love, okay. Simon. Love, Victor is a new TV show which everybody should watch too. There's this really hot kid named Cuba Mason Gooding Jr. on it. Gorgeous.
Don't say a hot kid.
Well, he's like 20 or 22. Whatever. He's whatever. Okay, he knows he's hot. Calm down.
Love, Simon. Love, Simon ends up going to Jurassic World and riding around in the glass ball. Okay, so this is an opportunity. I think you should come out to your dad. And maybe it's not my place to tell you that, because everyone can come out. Everyone should come out when they're ready and when the time is right. But if you, I think that people have a tendency to not understand the stories of people that they don't know. That. So if your dad knows you, I mean, you're his child, and you say, when you say that about those people, you're saying that about me. That's my community. Those are my people. So that might cause him to reassess his own thinking, because how could he not, you know?
One could hope, but if he does not, that's the chance to like just tell him everything you think, write it down first so you make sure you get everything, because emotion will get in the way and you want to hit your bullet points.
Yeah, and write a letter.
Honestly, all those things, write a letter, read it to him, because this is an intervention making sure that he's not an asshole, basically. And if he is an asshole, you can tell him you love him, but you can't like hang out with him until he respects and loves you the same way, you know, he does your brothers and sisters who might not be gay. Like, it's stupid. Like, every parent just wants their kids to be happy in the long run, and like, you not coming out is preventing happiness, and him being a bigot is preventing your happiness too.
Yeah,
there's a reason like magazines do the thing where like they write about a story and then they put like a personal account in, because they want to personalize it and like make a reader relate to it. Like, and this is what you need to do your dad, for sure. Good advice, Alaska.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that, Simon. Do you want to read the next one? I'm so excited.
Sure. This is from Chimera, maybe. The name has a lot of letters. Hello, Alexis, Lightning Fudge, Wilhelmina Belly, and Ursa Major. I'm writing to thank you gals for continually using your platform to speak in solidarity with our trans brothers, sisters, and siblings. There's a new documentary on Netflix called Disclosure about trans representation in the media. It's got all the dolls, Laverne, MJ, Angelica, Trace, Jamie, Candace, and many more. I thought it was amazing and important viewing, the first of its kind, and I thought your listeners would benefit from seeing it. Attached is some girl dick for your viewing pleasure and the representation. P.S.T.S. I got an OnlyFans if you girls feel like giving me a promo. OnlyFans.com/KAIMIRA. And if you're paying by the inch, you're in luck, because
Chimera's
hung. She's gorgeous.
These photos are gorgeous. She's stunning.
Honestly, it's like my favorite thing to look at, tits and dicks, because like,
I know,
I love playing with a girl. Did you see the new boobs I got that go up to my neck? Those ones I got Howie to put a zipper in the back. Did you see those new titties? So those titties I got. And then when I wear them, I can't see my dick. So I'm fine with looking at Chimera's. Definitely. Because you can't
Chimera,
see it.
This is finally some fucking girl dick on this pod. It's about damn time. Thank you.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. Applause, applause.
Applause.
Thank you.
And go to her OnlyFans OnlyFans.com/Chimera, K-A-I-M-I-R-A. Oh my gosh, so exciting. Okay, do we have time for this one? Should we go for it?
Yeah, no, we're good now.
Okay. This is from a San Franciscan. Glory be to Willem Alaska and Big Dipper. Since the end of season 12, something has been on my mind. On the show, RuPaul has mentioned that San Francisco is one of his favorite cities and has even called it the gayest city in America, which it is. Yet Rock'em Sakura is only the second contestant from San Francisco after Honey Mahogany back in season 5. While the vast majority of queens hail from obvious artistic hubs like Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, it seems there is a bit of discrepancy when it comes to San Francisco, where a vibrant and historic drag scene thrives. Some say San Francisco's activist transgression, think the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence with their beards, is what causes the city to be overlooked. Some say that enough San Francisco girls have applied and been rejected that it has discouraged future auditions. I'm hoping to hear your thoughts on the issue. I hope you're all healthy and staying sane. While I'm a proud pig bottom, I get enough compliments on my dick that I think you'll enjoy the picture I'm attaching to this email. I'm also attaching a photo of my ass, because in these socially distant times, a girl gets thirsty. Love in the time of coronavirus, San Francisco drag fan.
I think that he's forgetting that San Fran basically has a whole chapter in the history of drag with the Coquettes and and all that. And not all the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence have beards. Roma doesn't. I've met plenty that don't. A guy named Bennett, who was an LA one, he didn't have a beard. I don't know about the discrepancies about why more girls haven't been picked from San Fran, but I didn't realize it until now. I'm so sorry, San Fran drag fans.
Well, it is just, it does kind of stand out as like a little strange because San Francisco's a big city. There's lots of drag there.
I mean, there's been lots of drag from San Fran on Drag Race because Dallas Coulter makes it all. But
that's tea. It's a kind of a hub of like queer drag, like the queer drag world. So like it is strange that more queens haven't gotten on from hailing from San Francisco. But I would say as advice, you gotta audition, and it doesn't matter if you get rejected or if your friends all got rejected or whatever. You have to audition if you want to. I mean, do it for the city. Like, let's keep fucking representing San Francisco. But you have to audition to be considered. And if you have a beard, just because a bearded queen hasn't been on the show yet, doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. I really think the time is coming. Would you like to speak about the dick and the ass?
Oh, sure. This dick looks like an uncut member. The jock is pulled to the side, narrowly shadowing the balls. You can see the strap. There are some short and curlies at the entrance to the anus. And would you like to describe the hindquarters for us, Alaska 5000?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give an honorable mention to the red tank top, which is being worn in the dick picture.
Yeah. Thank you.
The dick is standing tall, mighty, and proud. And the ass picture, the face is buried under some Brooklyn and pillowcases.
and shame. There's shame in there.
The ass is framed by a black jock strap. And I think it's...
I see a hint of ball. I see a hint of ball.
A tartan bedspread. Yes, I see a hint of ball, a light smattering of hair, but not too much to occlude the vision of the anus in question.
Yeah, so short and curly. Thank you. Enough to braid, for sure, or bead.
We thank you so much, San Francisco drag fan. Keep auditioning.
Good luck.
We're very grateful that you joined us for this very special episode of...
Hot God. You can send any questions you might have or comments to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Good questions and nudity get priority boarding after children and military.
That's right.
Active we also, military, not passive military.
We also have bonus video content available on patreon.com/Willem. Just search using the hashtag racechaser and you can watch the videos a la carte.
You can follow us on Instagram at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, and at racechaserpod. And there's a link in that bio on our racechaserpod profile with lots of places to donate and to support the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes, and do something every day to educate yourself, to practice anti-racist behavior. Reach out to someone with resources, look for volunteer opportunities, go to a protest, wear a mask, open your purse and donate to an organization, sign petitions, do your part.
Do it.
And we will
be
back.
We'll
be
back
next week.
With more piping, steaming, scalding. Bowling.
Race chaser.
Yeah.
No, let's hear it. You all can sing.
Gonna tell a story about a podcast called Race Chaser.
Bye. Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.